Good morning. Welcome as we come to worship today. It's lovely to have you on such a normal day. The rain is here. It seems to be to stay for quite a wee while, doesn't it? But while you join us in person or indeed online today, we bid you a warm welcome as we come to draw around the Lord's table to remember his life, his death, and his resurrection for all the things that he has done for us and for the transformation that can bring into our lives. So let's pray as we begin. This is how God showed his love amongst us, that he sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. He himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, so we might die to sin and live for righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. Father God, we thank you your presence is with us and upon us this morning. May we be attentive to your voice. Whisper softly, shout loudly, but in all that we do in this time set aside for you, may we hear from you and respond to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
The reading today is from Genesis chapter, beginning at verse 1. The Lord had said to Abram, "Leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all the peoples on the earth will be blessed through you." So Abram left, as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 when he set out from Haran. He took his wife Sarai and his nephew Lot, and all the possessions they had accumulated, and the people they had acquired in Haran, and they set out for the land of Canaan, and they arrived there. Abram travelled through the land as far as the site of the great tree of Moreh at Shechem. At that time the Canaanites were in the land. The Lord appeared to Abraham and said, "To your offspring I will give this land." So he built an altar there to the Lord who had appeared to him. From there he went on towards the hills east of Bethel and pitched his tent, with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. There he built an altar to the Lord and called on the name of the Lord. Then Abram set out and continued towards the next.
Thank you, David. So today we begin a new series called Faith Journeys. As we, this is a Sunday before Lent, so Lent begins this Wednesday, Ash Wednesday. And so for the next 6 weeks, during that period of Lent, we'll travel through what we call faith journeys. Lent is that period of time for that the church sees as a time to reflect, to prepare, to seek spiritual renewal, if you like. It's a time traditionally in the Christian church and over the life of the Christian church when the people who belong to it are prepared for what is yet to come. It invites us into journey deeper in faith as we anticipate Easter, as we look forward and remember that culmination of the purpose of our Lord coming to this earth. The purpose where God did not sit high on a mountain or lofty in the heavens, but who stepped down into this world and met us right where we are. So over the next 6 weeks, we'll explore key journeys from the Old Testament and the New Testament. We'll look at lessons and people, if you like, throughout those. We're going to look at Abraham, which is today. And then we'll look at Moses, and then Elijah. We'll look at Jesus. We'll look at the disciples, especially the road to Emmaus, and Paul's missionary journey. Those six key journeys, if you like, people who went on journeys. There are lots of other journeys in the scriptures, but these are the six that we'll kind of pick out, we'll look at and see what lessons we can learn in this period of Lent. As each of these reveals a unique insight into our own walk with God, we can learn from these characters, we can learn from these journeys that they had as we prepare ourselves, as we learn a new sense of trust with the Lord, as we renew our faith, as we carry hope, as we work out what our callings are in and through Jesus Christ. So as we focus each week on a different biblical journey, we'll connect this message with our present day and our spiritual journeys in the here and the now. So let's pray together as we begin. Father God, we thank you that you are already present with us. As we've already sung, speak, O Lord, to come before your holy word, life-giving word. So may it be your word and not my words. May it be your spirit that leads us deeper into an understanding of who you are, but may it not just be a greater gaining of knowledge, Lord, but may it be a moment where we are transformed by your grace and your love and your mercy as we lift ourselves into a closer, more abiding relationship with you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So as I said, we're going to begin with Abraham. Abraham, the father of many nations, the one who, as David read to us today, received a covenant from the Lord, a promise from God that his descendants, his children's children's children, will become as numerous as the stars of the sky. This is the Lord beginning to institute his people, the nation of Israel, as we see it in the Old Testament, under the old covenant and the old law. So this is the beginning of God setting aside a people who would tell the world about him, setting aside a people group who other people groups would look at and say, oh, what have they got that we don't? And throughout the pages of scriptures, we see generation after generation, what the Lord says is that follow me, walk closely with me, and all the other people groups of the world will see that they need me. They need the living God, the one true God, Yahweh. So God calls Abraham to leave his country and journey to a land that he will show him. We see that in verse 1. The Lord said to Abraham, go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land that I will show you. Now, in Abraham's day, they didn't have Google, believe it or believe it not. I remember the first time that my children found out that I predated Google, that I was so old that Google existed. I existed before Google existed. Rebecca's eyes nearly popped out of her head. What? There was a time before Google? Because it's a different world that we live in today. So before you go on a journey, before you go on a holiday, before you go on whatever you want to phrase that, you Google where you're going. You look at some pictures of it. You Google how you're going to get there. You put Google Drive on in your car. Whatever way you want to do it, we find out where it is that we're going before we get there now. We just rarely get up and go. I remember as a child, one of our Sunday afternoon activities was getting in the car with a plastic bag with a tin of peaches or a tin of pears in it, whatever was in the cupboard, and driving. Where are we going? No idea. Who are we going to see? Don't know. But we just drove until we found a house with somebody in it. Now, we normally knew the person that was in the house. We just didn't knock random doors and say, ah, are you in? We normally drove, oh, we'll get in the car and we'll drive. Oh, it's a nice day. We'll go to so-and-so's house and see if they're there. If they're not there, we'll just go to somebody else's house. Until eventually we found somebody who was there with the door open and willing to welcome with a cup of tea. And they'd be handed a tin of pears or a tin of peaches because you can't go empty-handed. We don't do journeys like those kind of things anymore. And certainly in Abraham's day, he did not do journeys like that. So whenever God said to him, go from your country, from your people, from your father's household, to the land that I will show you, Abraham leaves without knowing what is yet to come. Not only did he not know what was yet to come, but he didn't even know the destination that he was going to. He went. And that's where faith comes in. That's where there's a moment of trust comes in. That's where there's a moment where Abraham trusts the God that he worships, the one true God, who says, I am going to send you and I am going with you. So go. And he does. Abraham listens to the voice of the Lord and obeys it, not blindly, but filled with faith and trust. And there may have been times in your life where you have stepped out of your comfort zone and where you've stepped into something new, uncertain of what it will look like, maybe even uncertain of where that's going to take you to, but trusting that it's the right thing. Sometimes knowing deep down in a heart that it's the right thing. It's happened to us a few times, and for one of them, it's here. It's coming to this place. It's coming to be amongst yous as your rector, as your minister here in Derevulgate. It was knowing in our hearts that we were to be here, that we were to come here, that we were to leave the familiarity of where we were and step into a new season in a new place with new faces and new people to get to know. And you're all lovely. But there was something more in that for us. There was a moment 10 years before we came here that we felt that the Lord was encouraging us, calling us to come to this place. In fact, we felt deep down in our hearts that that could well have been the next move for us. But that's not what happened in the Lord's plan, in the Lord's timing, in the Lord's preparation. That's not what happened for us. So whenever we were in Willowfield, whenever we were in that place, where we were in a place where expectations were set upon us about what was next in my ministry and in our journey, whenever we received a phone call to ask, would we consider coming to be the rector here? It was a stepping out in faith, but it was also a stepping out in trust that God had prepared the way for us. Not knowing what was to come, not knowing what would happen, not knowing what this place was like, but yet trusting that the Lord's plan was in it and the Lord's hand was upon it. And some would say it took a great deal of trust for you to receive us as well, which is true. As we've journeyed together over the last 7.5 years, we begin to see what God has for us. And we pray and we hope and we look for what God has for us in the years that are yet to come. Because often the destination is not the end point. Often the destination is what stops the journey, but the journey itself then continues. Abraham responds in faith, in obedience, in trusting God's promise, even without knowing the destination or what lay ahead. Abraham wasn't perfect. As you read on through the story of Abraham in the book of Genesis, you will see that he wasn't perfect. You see that he distorted the truth. But ultimately, through the scriptures, he is known for his faithfulness. And it will be accounted to him as righteousness, is what it says in the New Testament. Stepping out in faith often means leaving behind what is familiar. And that can be a scary thing to do. Because the familiarity is something that we don't always enjoy it. But we know it's safe. Because we know what to expect. And we know what's coming. So verse 4, it says, so whenever Abraham went, as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him, Abraham was 75 years old whenever he set out from Haran. He took his wife Sarah and his nephew Lot and all the possessions that they'd accumulated and the people that they'd acquired in Haran, and they set out for the land of Canaan, and they arrived there. He gets up and he goes. Now, whenever the Lord speaks to us over this Lent period, it may not be that we are to get up and go to wherever, but it may be that he is calling us and shaping us out of our comfort zones into a new place with him, individually and collectively as a church. And Abraham went to a place called Canaan. Now, if you read anything about the Canaanites in the Old Testament, you'll know they were a right scary people. They were ferocious. And Abraham would have known that. The Canaanites' reputation went before them. He didn't have to Google that bit. He'd heard about them. And actually, verse 9, the last verse that David read today says, then Abraham set out and continued towards the Negev. The Negev is the desert. It's a desolate place. It's a place where nothing exists. And that's where he set his face to. So whenever the Lord begins to speak to us, maybe we need to shake that spirit of complacency, preacher included, off our shoes. Because through all these stories that we will look at, through all these faith journeys, obedience is key. It's central to all the stories of the scripture. And some could see what they were being called to do, and so obedience may have been easier. But some had no idea what they were called to do, and obedience seemed harder. Obedience opens a door to God's blessing and God's purposes. Listen to verse 1 again. The Lord said to Abraham, go from your country, your people, your father's household, into the land that I will show you. And then he gives him the promise. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse you, and all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. God's call and our obedience equals his blessing. That's not some kind of prosperity gospel where if we do exactly what we're supposed to do, because life is not always easy. God's call may come with uncertainty. His voice over the next number of weeks for us, individually and collectively as a church, may come with uncertainty. But his presence is assured. And there he built an altar to the Lord, and he called on the name of the Lord, even in the place of desolation and desert and nothingness, the Lord's presence was with him. So whenever we're faced with making a decision, whatever that decision might be, do you primarily think about the immediate consequences, the immediate aftermath of how you make that decision and what will happen? Or do you sometimes contemplate the bigger picture? Because as I reread this story of Abraham, I wondered if Abraham just considered the immediate consequences of getting everything that he owned, all his family, and disappearing into the desert. He may well have thought, right, get a lunch here, my house is warm, it's comfortable. I've got everything that I need, I'm okay, I'm actually prospering where I am, my accumulation of things is growing, I'm doing all right here, actually, do I really want to go to a desert? Nah, I'm all right. But Abraham was considering the bigger picture, in one sense. He was considering the legacy that he was being called to leave, whenever God said, I will make you into a great nation and I will bless you. Abraham's legacy is living on through the generations So what God does with you and with me will not always stop with you and with me. The obedience that we have in this moment will have an impact on the generations that come after us and will be the legacy that we leave behind. Your obedience has the potential to impact the generations that are yet to come. What an opportunity for the Lord. Let's pray together. Or lift our eyes from the transitory moments. Allow us to see a bigger picture of what you're doing. Help us not to get swamped in the smallness of the decisions, but also help us not to be held back by the bigness of the decisions. Help us to keep our eyes firmly focused on you. Increase our level of faith and obedience within our spirits and in our hearts for what you have yet to come for us. That we, your people gathered in this place, might see your kingdom come like never before. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's pray together as we close. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And may the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, rest upon each one of us this day and forevermore. Amen. Amen.